Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, as we come before your word this morning, I pray you'd open our hearts and our minds to what you want us to hear. And that as we do that, that we would be excited by your coming and that we celebrate this Christmas. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, before we start, I've got a little video. It's Settle Back Kids, and it's a really cool little video that sort of sums up the story of Abraham. So bear with me. Hopefully, it should be there and start.
Stories of the Bible. God's promise for Abraham. This is Abram, who later will be known as Abraham.
Hey.
When Abram was in the land called Canaan, God told him to look over the land as far as his eyes could see. God promised that the land would be blessed and that Abram would have many children.
Oh!
25 years passed. Abram and Sarai were very old and still had no children. God appeared to Abram and said, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield. A son is coming. Look at the heavens and count the stars. Someday, you will have as many children as there are stars in the sky." Years later, Abraham and Sarai still had no children. God appeared to Abram again and told Abram that his name would no longer be Abram, but it would be Abraham, which means father of many nations.
Ah!
God also told Abraham that Sarai's name would be changed to Sarah. God promised to bless Sarah and told Abraham that she would become pregnant and have a son.
Ah.
God made a covenant with Abraham, and God gave Abraham a way to show that he and his children were part of God's covenant. Abraham and Sarah did have a son named Isaac.
Ah.
God's promises came true for Abraham and Sarah. Abraham became the father of many nations, and from his child came children, and from their children, more children, until Abraham's descendants were truly more numerous than the stars in the sky, just as the Lord had promised.
So thank you for listening to that. That's just a short summary of Abraham's life. And obviously we've been titled sermon series, Surprised by Christmas. I've got a little quiz for you now. So I hope you brought your thinking brains to church. Some people have already been through this quiz, so you're not allowed to cheat. I know who you are. Right, okay. So the first question is, what film is this from? Lord of the Rings. Okay, well done. Okay, good, good. And this film, it was Robin Williams who originally did it way back in the day. Yep. Jumanji, well done. Okay, we've got a few people with that one. Okay, this one is for the old-timers. Raiders of the Lost Ark, absolutely. And the same actor in the film here as well. Star Wars, fantastic. Okay, we have a game at home called Linky, and what you've got to do is you've got to link all of those things together. What is the link or the thread between all of those four things? Movies, but a certain genre of movies? Action adventure, yeah. So I'll go with action, but more likely adventure. And so again, as Newton has shared with us, we're going to be talking about Surprised by Adventure. And I wonder if we think about it for ourselves. I remember, as Newton said, that sometimes people would say that Christians are boring and that they're irrelevant and all of those other things. And I'm going to suggest to you quite the opposite. If we're called to be salt and light of this world, we're exciting people to be around. We are blessing people, and a little bit like Abraham was called to bless the nations. And so let's think about what that might mean and what that might look like for us this morning as we go through and get surprised by God's adventure. But I want to point out the first thing. Abraham's adventure starts with a calling, doesn't it? So the Lord says to Abraham, leave your country and your kindred and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. Now, I want to pause for a minute and think about what that actually does say. It's saying, don't put a destination in your sat-nav on the camel. There you go. It says, I will show you later where you're to go. And so it's an element of faith that Abraham leaves his home. He's packing up all his people, all his possessions, on a couple of camels and maybe a couple of horses and people as well and all sorts of things. And he's going, right, I'm going to leave home, his house, perfectly fine house, probably a lovely house with some lovely farm land at the back and a nice little, a small holding, probably a bit bigger than a small holding, but you get the picture. He's got a nice life for himself where he is. And so why would he be motivated? The second thing to note is, how old is he when he goes? Did anybody remember hearing how old he was when he started his journey? 75, yeah, 75 years. So anybody who says, I'm too old to do anything, I'm afraid Abraham puts you to shame. Okay, so never say you're too old for anything as well. He's 75, he's got his whole family, and he's going to pack off and he's going to head off into the sunset. And you could imagine his friends going, so Abraham, God's called you to go somewhere. Where exactly is that? And he goes, don't know. I just don't know. I've just been told by God, off your trot, mate. And I wonder if that was like that for us. You know, what we'd think is, hang on a minute, God, you said what? Do you know, it's winter right now and it's getting a bit cold outside. And so not knowing where I'm going to, I might end up being quite cold on the streets. And that's not a good thing for me, God. So maybe in 6 months' time when it's a bit warmer, we'll go. Would that be okay? Can I negotiate with you, God, that way? But Abraham instead hears God, listens to him, and decides to do what God has asked him to do. And if you have a look at the journey, there's the map underneath it of where Abraham goes. So he goes sort of one side of the peninsula and then back down the other side. And I can assure you that's a long way by anybody's walking map. A 75-year-old with a whole bunch of cattle, all sorts of other things trailing behind, goes that distance. It's no small journey. And in a way, this is Abraham's beginning, the beginning of his adventure. Sure, he probably lived a fulfilling life somehow in the background, but this is where we start to see Abraham's life really come to life. It's when he starts trusting God and saying, okay, you're sending me this way. I'll trust you, God. I believe you've got my interest in heart. I don't know where I'm going to end up. Where's this promised land? I don't know, but I'll go with you on this one. And I wonder for each one of us, it was a little bit like Newton introduced the topic and we spoke about our greatest adventure, but if you ever had, you know, you remember the school essays you used to have, right? And they'd start with the beginning of, here's the words I'm going to use and you've got to fill in the rest of the story, you know, that sort of thing. Well, actually, what if you were asked at school, and I'm not going to ask you, don't worry, no, it's not homework, don't panic everybody, but if I asked you to write an essay that said, my greatest adventure, ... what would it look like for you now? What would be the thing that you'd remember the most? What are the things that you might put about it and say about your life in that case? What is the big adventures you have had in your life? And it's a big question, isn't it? Because I see so many people out there in the world who are dissatisfied with where they're at, dissatisfied with the way they are, dissatisfied with actually the position they're in. And the truth is, the greatest adventure has to start somewhere. And I believe the starting point for Abraham is trusting God. And I think that's a really important thing that we must listen and take from this, that Abraham's calling from his God is he has to trust him. He has to have a relationship with him to understand what God is asking in the first place. He has to trust him and trust that God has provided all the way through. And when God says something, Abraham listens and does it. The big adventures start with God and trusting him. So that's maybe the first point. What is your greatest adventure and what would you write? My other question to you is this. What gets you out of bed? What are you excited by? What do you get energized by? And for each person, I'm sure it's going to be different. Because what was that? Sorry?
Tea,
like as in cup of tea or, yeah. Tea in the morning. There you go. It gets you out of bed because it fuels the caffeine injection beforehand. But maybe for some people, it might be that I get out of bed because I just love my job. Maybe I get out of bed because I want to go and see people. I love people. I think they're brilliant. It could be different things that get you out of bed. Sometimes it can be, I want to discover more of the world. I want to be excited by the planet that I live in. I want to see the amazing creation that God has created for us. there's lots of different motivations for us. And I wonder, but if that's true, what is then leading to what you think you might be called to do by God? Because I think God doesn't ask you to move away from your passions. And in fact, he asks you to move towards your passions and to allow you to do things, as long as they're not destructive, I have to add. It's if it's something that is good and right and within God's word, that then there is a passion that he'll put in your heart that you'll be able to do. So that's a really important caveat on that one. But what gets you out of bed? What motivates you? And for some people, it's that, isn't it? You know, the exploring. I heard a lot of people saying when we went up into the mountains, hugged a llama or something like that, or, you know, those other things, and put backpack on my... One of my most exciting times, I think, in life was when I only owned a backpack. Nothing else. No possessions, just a backpack. That was it. And I went and discovered the world. And then I discovered Louise, and it was much better, of course. But, well, Louise discovered me. I don't know which way around it was. But when I was discovering the world and I only had a backpack on my back, it somehow felt refreshing. I wasn't pinned back by anything. I wasn't held back by anything. In a way, maybe when Abraham starts his journey, he's only got the stuff that he's got with him. That's it. I'd imagine it's a pretty big train, by the way, of stuff. But maybe it's different for you. Maybe it's an intellectual curiosity. Maybe it's something that really your mind is absolutely wandering and thinking about things and wants to go and explore different parts of what the world's tech. I had an amazing podcast that I listened to that I was sharing with Elsa, and it was about a guy who was super intelligent. It was somebody who was measurably the most intelligent person on the planet. So his IQ was highest ever recorded, since records begun, seems to be the common word. But actually, his IQ was off the scale, and he believed in God. And do you know what he did for a job? Most intelligent person in the world. Do you have a guess to what he might do as a job? Go for it. Work at McDonald's, close, not quite, but very close. Farmer. He's a farmer. The world's most intelligent man is a farmer. Isn't that incredible? I mean, I'm sure he's thinking about lots more as he's tending to his cows, but why did he say that he found that? He found a job that gave him fulfillment and joy and satisfaction, and he went and did it. But now he's speaking out about his faith in God as well and talking about that amongst people. And it's a two-hour podcast. It's really interesting. And there's stuff about God I didn't even understand. I'd have to play it about 50 million times before I understood half of what was said. But the point is, that's his adventure. That is what he is doing. He is trusting God. He's finding fulfillment in the simple pleasures of life. He doesn't have to have lots of money. He doesn't find that exactly what he wants. That doesn't get him out of bed. And my final question is this for you. What is God saying to you? Abraham was quite clear about what God was saying to him. We see it in the recording of what Genesis records as his request by God to him. What is God saying to you right now? Well, be happy, amen, I agree with that. Be celebratory, be joyful, all of those things. But maybe there's something as well that God is saying, I want you to do this. I need you to do this. I want you to be obedient to me. And part of that, I think, I believe, and this is probably my biggest issue, is there's so much background noise in my life that times I don't take time to listen to what God wants to say to me. You know, there's always something going on, and busyness and the culture of busyness and all of those other things. That maybe with Abraham, he was able to go outside, out of the tent, look up into the sky and go, Lord, I just want to be with you and spend time with you. I want to listen to what you've got to say to me, and I want to hear what you've got for me. I want to follow what you want for my life rather than what I think you want. And maybe there's something about that for each one of us here, that actually we need to remember spending time with God is important. Listening to God is important. And having that quiet time, that private time, it might be that you go for a walk somewhere and you just enjoy God's presence in nature. It might be that you sit in the garden and have a nice cup of tea and enjoy God's word and just find him in that peaceful place. But it means that you can start listening out for what he wants to say to you, what he wants to speak to you. Abraham clearly heard God's voice, and that was really important for him. And then we see this great blessing that God gives to Abraham, and it's quite a significant thing. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. That's quite a promise. All the people on earth will be blessed through you. It's what God said. It's what God really said to Abraham. And I don't know about you, but it might be that you go, who, me? I'm not good enough. I'm certainly not this amazing person that can do all of these things. And what are you saying? I'm going to be a blessing to all the nations. I believe that any Christian today can take that promise and apply it to their lives. You will be a blessing to all of the nations. And what is God talking about to Abraham? Well, of course, he's talking about, if we want to project forward into the future, it's the lineage of his bloodline that goes right through to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ is born and he is then crucified, the reality of our lives have been changed greatly and are blessed by it, because now we have our relationship back with God as it should have been, as it was. You know, we are now no longer burdened by our own sin, but cleansed by his grace. And so the blessing to come is promised in his son, Jesus Christ. And so we see that Abraham packs up all his stuff with those words ringing in his ear and heads off out into the great blue yonder, not knowing what to expect on a great adventure. That's exciting times. I'm sure there's lots of doubts going on in his mind. I'm sure there are things that he thought, well, really, do you want me to do it? I think my neighbor's probably better qualified for this. Yet God said, I choose you. And God chooses each one of us to do specific things. And we need to be attentive and listening to that. But when we do go out on that adventure, do not by any means expect a smooth ride all the way. There will be problems. And it's sometimes, if you look at what Abraham did as he went with his wife Sarah and tried to pass her off as his sister because he was worried about getting hurt by the king, twice, not once but twice, we see a man fundamentally flawed, a man who's got issues in his life, a man who has got insecurities, a man that is worried about certain things and sometimes doesn't fully trust God for everything. Does that sound familiar? To you, does to me, because there are times in my life when I am worried, concerned, and my own insecurities creep into what God's work is doing. Yet despite all of that, God still worked through Abraham. So therefore, my application to take away for you is, even though Abraham was fundamentally flawed and I know my own fundamental flaws, God will still work through me, and by goodness, he'll still work through everybody here. That is undoubtedly true. Don't let the failures trip you up. Don't let them put you off course. Don't let you think that you cannot complete the task just because you've tripped up on the way. That is not what God is saying to you. What does he say? I forgive you. I love you. Get back up. Get back on that horse and keep on going. And that is the truth for all of us, including Abraham. But there was something quite remarkable about Abraham's faith. Remember, he took his son Isaac, his only son, and he was going to offer him as a sacrifice to God. Why? Because God told him. And he might have been going, but hang on a minute, I didn't hear that right, did I, God? You want me to bring my son onto a hill and you want me to kill him? Surely not. But actually, when we think about it, God was only showing Abraham the faith that he had. He didn't need to see the action. He didn't need to see that happen, because the truth was what Abraham's actions were doing were pointing to the truth in the future that there one day would be a son who would die, who would be the ultimate forgiveness and the atonement for all sin ever in the history of mankind. And so there was an indication of this pointing forward in that action. But Abraham didn't have to do that. God did it for him in his son, Jesus Christ. And so as we think about Abraham's, one of the things we can attribute to him is an incredible faith, even in the face of many difficult decisions he might have had to make. And Romans talks about him as well. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. What that means in a nutshell is that actually it wasn't by God's Abraham's actions that saved him. It was his faith in a living God, in the reality of who he was, that brought about his salvation. It is something that was very much worked through by Martin Luther, as he worked through his own faith. He worked out through the Roman passage, justified by faith. He was justified by faith, and that was a beautiful thing for him. And it's the same for each one of us. We are not justified by what we do. Don't get that wrong. We're justified by who we follow and what we believe. This is the greatest adventure we can have. So I wonder, as we think about Advent, what the word means. It means actually we're waiting for somebody who's especially anticipated. So that's what Advent means. It means the awaiting. So when we light the wreaths and we sort of look at that, we're anticipating. What is in the middle here? Does anybody remember what's the middle represents? Anticipating Christmas, but who came on Christmas? Well done. Yep, the answer is Jesus is coming. So we're counting down the time and getting excited by Christmas coming. And so we are in Advent thinking about that. But I want to add three letters to Advent. U-R-E. To turn it into adventure. God has called us all into adventure together to discover the reality of who Jesus is, what he has done, and discover that truth about him. As we do that together, we'll find our purposes for one another. It will be different for each person. God will call you into something specific that will change other people's lives. Why? Because he wants to call you in to be a blessing to this world. He wants to call us in to bless others. Why? Because he's blessed us. And so therefore, we want to be the same. We want to show the world that blessing we have. And one of the ways you can do that is to discover more about the person of Jesus. Jesus claims to be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, all things that we need for our complete and utter humanity. And if you're interested, later on this, early next year, January, there will be an Alpha course starting up. We're going to be working with St John's Church in Corby. And with them, we'll be running an Alpha course over the six-week period. So if you're interested in discovering more about what God is about and you want to think about that in more depth, then please do speak to me, because there'll be an opportunity to do that with another church, discovering what Jesus is and what he's done. An Alpha course is a really good course to look at the basics of that. That may be your biggest journey and your adventure today. Believe me, when I started following God, following Jesus, that was the beginning of my greatest adventure ever. And I believe that it is the same for each one of us here. Christianity is far from boring. I have lived a fulfilled, challenging, but exciting life. And it is all because of what God has done in me and through his grace and his goodness. I want the same thing for you, no matter what stage you're at, where you're at, that God would fulfill you and give you that adventure, maybe that you've been worried about and concerned about into the future. May you find adventure in him. And just the final quote, which I love, "Blessed are the curious, for they shall have adventures." Go on a voyage of discovery. Go and find out and ask questions of God. That's absolutely fine. I have no problem with asking questions, because I think it's good. It shows you interest in the subject. And as you ask the questions, I hope and pray that God will reveal the truth of who he is and what he has called you to do. But it starts with a curious mind. It doesn't start with a closed mind. Oh, I'm no good. We have to open ourselves up to the will of God in all the things that we do, trusting that he will speak to us in a way that will put us on an adventure that will be the lifetime adventure that you've always wanted. My hope and my prayer is that that will be true even today, no matter where you are at, no matter what you're doing. And may God go with you all the way. Amen.